The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Ultimately, this is also a tremendous opportunity. It's a tremendous opportunity to once and for all remove the dependence on Russian energy, and thus to take away from Vladimir Putin the weaponization of energy as a means of advancing his imperial designs. That's very significant, and that offers tremendous strategic opportunity for the years to come. But meanwhile, we're determined to do everything we possibly can to make sure that the consequences of all of this are not borne by citizens in our countries or, for that matter, around the world.
Well, isn't that interesting to hear of all of these great opportunities? There's no letdown. Each day when you listen to different representatives, secretaries in the so-called president's administration, when they get out there and speak, boy, everything is golden. It's a good thing. Well, I'd like to welcome you back to the Trumpet Daily Program. I'm your guest host, Andrew Locher. I'll be with you today. Mr. Blinken leads into something that we'll discuss here in just a few moments. And I think you'll see that really it's anything but opportunities right now. As you look at some of the crises that are facing this world, it is not a positive, prosperous time. I'd like to welcome those that are listening in on CRN, on Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3. We'd love to have you listening in to us. And as we mention often, we encourage you to visit our website, thetrumpet.com. There you find archives of previous programs. You can watch the video format of The Trumpet Daily there. We also have a very extensive library of literature that's available to you. We offer it on the program here frequently. The warehouse where we're taping, the studio is located in the warehouse where we store close to a million copies of the books and booklets that are available to you free of charge. You can, of course, download them from our website and have access right away. But again, there's some really great books and booklets that I'll talk about today that we'd encourage you to order. I also strongly recommend that you subscribe to the print edition of the Trumpet magazine. If your life is as busy as mine is, and I'm sure it's probably busier, it's always a great reminder to get the Trumpet magazine in the mail. And from that, you might find there are several articles that you did not notice on the website. The infographics there, really special. We have a great, great resource in the Trumpet magazine. And so you can, of course, look at that online. But again, this periodical, it comes free of charge 10 times a year. There's never any follow-up with it. And again, it just gives you a lot to consider with all the prophecies that are being fulfilled now. You can see the graphic on the screen if you're watching the video. We have a fantastic art team. It's really a whole department here, and they illustrate a lot of the covers themselves. Even for that very purpose, it's good to subscribe to the magazine and to hang on to those. So if you'd like to subscribe to The Trumpet, we, of course, welcome your requests through td@thetrumpet.com. Just tell us you'd like to have an email. I'm sorry, you'd like to have a subscription. You can send that on the email. Or you can call our toll-free number, 1-866-930-3024. That's 866-930-3024. So again, take advantage of everything we have to offer here for you. It's our great pleasure to send that out to you. Well, I do enjoy hosting the Trumpet Daily Program. It's a great chance to kind of isolate a topic or two in the news. There's always so many to pick from. I love listening to the Trumpet Daily. It does keep me well informed. And I think if you make the Trumpet Daily, if you make the Key of David television program with Gerald Fleury, if you listen to Trumpet Hour with Mr. Hilliker, or if you read the Trumpet magazine, all of these really should be our go-to sources for news. We do have a team of researchers. We ourselves try to keep an eye on all the activities around the world that have prophetic significance. We avoid the fluff, and we just cut right to the very heart and core of what's going on in your world around you, all the things that are so important. Mr. Seem Fleury uses our slogan all the time, where we give you tomorrow's news today, or you get tomorrow's headlines today. We're way ahead of mainstream media in that way. Well, with all the troubles facing the world, I was, again, trying to narrow this down a little bit, tried to pick some that are really significant as far as prophecy is concerned, as far as our everyday lives are concerned. There are quite a few things that seem to happen this time of year. October is historically a terrible month for the stock market, and I really don't know how it could get any worse than what we're experiencing today, but it typically does at this time of year. It's also this time of year that's coincident with the Holy Days of God that we often see some significant world events take place that really do shape the lives of each and every one of us. We're experiencing, it's from a distance in some ways, and yet it's put before us all the time. The war in Europe that's being fought between Ukraine and Russia. I noticed the other night that 60 Minutes, I think, had an interview with Mrs. Zelensky. And it's really interesting to me how it's like a social media war, in a sense. Ukraine knows they've got to keep in our forefront their struggles as we pour billions of dollars over there. And yet occasionally you see videos or pictures surface where it doesn't look as bad as they make it sound. No, I'm not saying at all that there's not war fought over there and there's not a lot of death, but it has proven to be quite a financial boon for Ukraine. I was reading some details today about the low inventory of U.S. military armaments, and it was a report prepared by Bank of America, and they were giving investment advice, and they started listing off all the major U.S., the domestic military suppliers, Raytheon, General Dynamics. They list off several of these, this military industrial community. I'm not getting the word here to mind, but you know what I mean. All of the manufacturers of these armaments. And Bank of America sees this as quite an investment opportunity because we've reduced our stockpiles to a point where it's pretty critical, actually. The president does have authority to send that over. The Department of Defense is sending some old weapon systems, but also some of our newer, more sophisticated ones. And so Bank of America sees this war in Ukraine, these billions of dollars pouring out of the United States that really go back to them in many ways, to buy more weapons. This world is arming itself to the teeth. There is a real problem that is affecting our economies. And so we live with the repercussions of war, as I said. We live with failing economies all over the world. Social trends are tearing us apart. Crime is rampant. You hear this all the time, and I don't want to just beat a drum here over and over again, but if you just step back and think of the headlines, it is a troubled, troubled world. So I want to focus on just a few areas at the start of today's program. I want to talk about inflation for a moment. We're all going to have to become expert at global economics. It's not just local. It's not even just national. It's a global economic meltdown. In some ways, it seems so far away, or it seems so hard to understand all the technical terms. And it's very difficult if you listen to the Biden administration explain why all of this bad news is somehow glorious and paving a path, a golden path onto prosperity for us. It's anything but that. That's not true at all. We each feel the pressure. The days of prosperity, in my opinion, are gone. The cost of food is something that each of us feel, and we're going to feel even more strongly the increasing cost for energy. Prices at the gas pump are going back up, but also just the heating options for the wintertime. We're approaching the winter months, the cold winter months in the Northern Hemisphere, and we start to feel all of these pains. Sure, we can get by day to day. Maybe we sacrifice a cup of coffee. Maybe we eat at home instead of going out. Perhaps we put off a more major purchase. And yet, if you step back and look at the whole problem, it is not good. The horizon is really potholed with a lot of trouble. It's not just inflation that's eating us up. There's also problems with the supply chain. There are problems with just finding workers that will take a job and hold a job and do their job. My wife mentioned to me the other day, this is kind of a dumb story, but in a way it illustrates a point. I like heavy whipping cream in my coffee, and she couldn't find any at the stores. And so she told me, she said, well, this is another thing you have to just stockpile on when it's available. And I've been giving her articles, you need to get tomatoes or you need to buy butter. I think butter is the new thing that they're saying is going to be in shortage here coming up. And so she was at the store the other day, the same store where they didn't have any cream. And this time they had piles of it on the shelves. And there's an individual there stocking the cream. And my wife said, well, I thought there was a shortage. He said, oh, no, no, we have it all in the back. He said, we just don't have any employees to put it out on the shelves. Empty shelves in our grocery stores, whether it be from supply chain, worker shortage, or just the fact that we're not able to produce what we're used to. These are occurrences that are becoming more familiar to us because they're happening more regularly. This isn't just a problem in America, as you know. It's happening around the world. This world is suffering, and there's a lot of uncertainty. And yet there's a few things that we're being told now that I think in this present time when we're so easily distracted, we kind of take our eyes off this. I've started to change my personal budget, looking at what lies ahead for the winter months. Before I get to that, though, let me just tell you about the United Kingdom. Their CPI, they also measure the Consumer Price Index, or they have a similar type of measurement. It was up 9.9% when comparing August of 2021 to August of 2022. So their year-over-year increase is at 9.9%. I think we're at 8.1, 8.2, somewhere in there. In the UK, they were over 10% increased year-to-year just back in July. Really, their situation's not any better. In fact, it's a little bit worse than the United States. It's on par with Germany. The British pound is collapsing, as you've heard. The economy is in terrible shape. Listen to this. This was from the New York Times reported just last week. They just have a few bullet points of rising inflation in Britain. They say consumer prices are still rising at about the fastest pace in 40 years. They had a small decline themselves, down to 9.9%, as I said, in August. But fastest rising prices in 40 years. Interest rates. On September 22nd, the Bank of England raised its key rate by another half of a percentage point to 2.25% as it tries to keep high inflation from becoming embedded in the nation's economy. This is the kicker to me. Energy bills to soar. Gas and electric charges for most British households are set to rise 80% this fall, further squeezing consumers and stoking inflation. I've talked about that before. You've heard Mr. Fleury talk about it. We write about it. Just think about that. An 80% increase is just on the immediate horizon. And that's what I'm trying to prepare for here. I think Stephen Fleury said a week or two ago to expect double-digit, over 50% increase perhaps in some places in the price for electricity this winter here in the United States. The New York Times continues investor worries. The financial markets have been grumbling with unease about Britain's economic outlook. The government plan to freeze energy bills and cut taxes is not easing concerns. Gone are the days where we could just slap a multi-billion-dollar, multi-trillion-dollar Band-Aid on a horrific problem. Those Band-Aids are gone. They weren't really there in the first place, but they can't just, you know, put out a little stimulus and fool the public into thinking, well, actually, times are good. Germany, their inflation is over 10%. In the last month, their inflation or their CPI equivalent went from 7.9% to 10%, a one-month change of 2.1% increase, 10% more expensive to buy goods in Germany than it was the same time just 1 year ago. This is the first time that German inflation has hit double digits since World War II. The next report of Consumer Price Index in the United States takes place on October 13th, just in a day or two. With gas prices rising again, expect another increase. There's a lot of disagreement. There's a lot of speculation out there that things will get a little bit better or easier. I don't think so. Food is going to increase. Just the cost of producing food, transporting food, is starting to find its way into the markets now in a more visible sense. And then again, energy costs increasing, electricity, gas, oil, all of those prices increasing, all of those contribute to the consumer price index. If you go shopping, I don't go shopping that often. My wife and family takes care of that for me. But when they go, they come back, nothing's getting cheaper. Nothing is less expensive. Everything is increasing in price. Now, the other subject I want to talk to you about, and this is a little bit risky, I'm taping this program in advance because we're out of town, but the Nord Stream pipeline situation or sabotage, it's really intriguing to me. It does require quite a bit of sophistication through military tactics or terrorist tactics, if you want to say that, to carry out such a mission. This is not something that's easily done. So you could rule out most every military power in the world. There are a few. There's quite a few, I guess you could say, a handful of military powers that could carry this out. And one of the things I think is really intriguing to me is how long it's taken to figure out, well, who's responsible? I have my feelings. Those are supported in the media, but then I find the support for, you know, blaming Russia, blaming Germany, blaming America. You find all types of accusation that's out there. It is a serious problem. It could be a sign of something much worse to come. In this age of satellite surveillance, the fact that this came off as a surprise is very interesting to me. And yet at the same time, as you know from this program, there is a devil. There is a devil that is behind the activities of mankind. His world is coming to a close. It is dying. He doesn't care who's responsible. He just wants to inflict suffering. He wants to bring about chaos. So who's responsible outside of the devil? Who's he using in this act of sabotage? Again, it's interesting. You listen to Mr. Blinken talk about opportunities. You listen to the saber rattling of Vladimir Putin, statements made by our very own president. It is interesting to try to figure out who's to blame, because this is really a hugely important issue. I want to read to you an opinion piece from Mr. Howard Kunstler, and I found this intriguing. He, of course, blames the United States for this act of sabotage. He wrote this opinion piece on September 30th. He said, since Joe Biden flat out promised last February to bring an end to the Nord Stream pipeline, let's assume he meant both Nord Stream 1 and 2. Why seek further to unravel a fake mystery? As Richard Palmer pointed out in a news update for us, there's actually four pipelines. There's two components to the Nord Stream 1, two components to the Nord Stream 2. And so there, we know that the both of those pipelines, two of the four, I believe, were sabotaged. Again, I don't know all the details, and I'm not saying that it was the United States. I watched Tucker Carlson from, it was about a week ago. At that time, he was pretty strong in his assessment that the United States was responsible. Mr. Kunstler continues here. He says, the purpose of the act was likewise simple, plain, and obvious, to foreclose any possibility of Germany negotiating a separate peace with Russia around the financial and economic sanctions imposed by the United States over the Ukraine operation. So Germany does come into play here, obviously. They are the recipient of that energy, as is the rest of Europe. And yet Germany's finding that it has to act on its own. Outside of the purview or the protection of the United States, it has to make sure that it is fighting for its own survival. If you look at the current administration that is so-called ruling the United States, they're making awful decisions. Nobody knows what to expect. Nobody knows how to trust them. This piece continues, consider that Nord Stream sabotage amounts to the leading member of NATO committing an act of war against the rest of NATO. A little further down, he says, seems to me that either Chancellor Olaf Scholz acknowledges this deadly affront to Germany and negates further participation in the NATO-Ukraine idiocy, or within a few months, he will face a violent political uprising from his own people and his government will fall, and not necessarily within the framework of an orderly parliamentary procedure. More like mobs in the streets, chaos, government buildings torched, officials strung up, real insurrection, not the fake kind we hear about endlessly from the American Party of Chaos. You see, this act of sabotage could have some really upsetting impact on the world, especially in Germany. It has squeezed Germany into action. It opens the door, perhaps, for the appearance of the Daniel 8 man. If you're not familiar with that prophecy, request Daniel Unsealed at Last. It's free of charge. We'd love to send that to you. And just reading this opinion piece, again, I don't know how accurate this is, but he talks about violence in Germany, riots, tribulation. He says, how exactly do any of the major NATO countries continue to regard the United States as any kind of an ally? Well, that fulfills prophecy in Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28. I think I was attracted to this piece because it does touch on a lot of prophecies that we know are going to happen. Now, I'm not saying they're going to happen exactly as he points out that they might, but we do know these prophecies will be fulfilled. It gets worse. He says, don't worry. Before much longer, something similar will happen in France, talking about the collapse of the government there. There's a whole lot of shaking going on across Europe. Revelation chapter 17 talks about refining the current European Union down to a more consolidated formation of 10 kings. He says the euro currency fell below par with the U.S. dollar. Its days are numbered, and when perforce it must be replaced by the old national currencies, francs, marks, guilders, liras, then submission to the EU will reach a logical end, and it's back to national sovereignty too. Well, he's wrong there. It is going to unify, but as the Bible says, it's going to be a very loose union. There's not a lot of agreement. There's not a lot of cooperative economic planning, military planning, political planning that's consistent across Europe. And so you'll have this loose conglomeration of nations, but they have to stand together and fight because the United States and Britain are nowhere to be found to help them. They have to stand on their own. They have to stand against the Prince of Russia, as he's already begun invading. He continues, the country, he's talking about Britain, this country is functionally bankrupt, the pound is dying, and by resorting again to old quantitative easing bond buying racket, the Bank of England has just doomed the country to even more ruinous inflation. Last quote from this, he says, Joe Biden and his regime of satanic degenerates will just have to take it. They will have lost Europe's loyalty by the foolish Nord Stream caper. Interesting thoughts to try to figure out what exactly is taking place over there in Europe, especially with the pipelines. A lot to think about. Now, Richard Palmer, as I mentioned, he's a frequent host on the Trumpet Daily. He's one of our best news analysts. He sent across a piece from Der Spiegel that I just wanted to grab some of his thoughts and just a couple statements from Der Spiegel. He says, at the end of last week, Germany unveiled a $200 billion energy relief package. Germany is going to act within Germany to control the cost of energy prices so its businesses can remain open, so its citizens can enjoy heat. 200 billion euro package, 200 billion to keep energy affordable. Euro Intelligence said this, what is shocking about German energy price cap is not the size, but the fact they did not tell anybody. Germany's leading. Germany's got the bankroll to weather some of these storms. They have the industry to build an army. They have the political will. And they certainly will have a leader to garner their forces. Mr. Palmer said, today Gazprom announced that one of the Nord Stream pipelines is in fact still working. They say the attack may in fact force Germany back into doing business with Russia. So what if that piece I just quoted from earlier, what if the U.S. aim was to create opportunity, as Mr. Blinken said, if it was to maybe open markets, if it was to force Germany not to negotiate with Russia, what if just the opposite happens? That seems pretty likely to me, based on the fruits of the decisions made by the so-called president of the United States and the administration that backs and supports him. One more quote here. This is from Spiegel's piece, Nord Stream attacks expose vulnerability of European infrastructure. They quoted a German naval, he was a Navy inspector. He said, Russia has built up significant capacity underwater. There is quite a bit of critical infrastructure like pipelines or submarine cables for IT on the floor of the Baltic Sea, but also in the Atlantic. And so there are pieces of infrastructure. And the whole piece there from Spiegel basically pointed out that there's little defense of these critical pieces of technology, these pieces of infrastructure. Tucker Carlson brought out, what if the U.S. did it? And what if Russia retaliates by chopping some of the fiber lines that connect America with Britain? Could be a lot of chaos out there. This man said the attack on Nord Stream represents, quote, a new dimension of war. And then he talks about how complex the operation was. Really fascinating things to study and to wait to see who's responsible. We might not ever know. I don't know. Maybe it'll be pointed out later today to me, and maybe somebody will take responsibility. I don't know. I just know that it is setting the stage for prophetic fulfillment that your Bible promises will lead to the return of Jesus Christ. Well, I want to take a short break now, and when we return, I want to look at just one chapter of prophecy in the book of Jeremiah. That chapter should really trouble us in a sense, but also greatly inspire. So stick with us through this break, and we'll come back into a short Bible study.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. The developed nations have made awesome progress. They have produced a highly mechanized world, providing every luxury, modern convenience, and means of pleasure. Yet they are cursed with crime, violence, injustice, sickness and disease, broken homes and families. At the same time, more than one half the world is living in illiteracy, abject poverty, filth and squalor. Violence and destruction are rapidly multiplying. Many ask, why, if God exists, does he allow so much violence and human suffering? To understand the reason behind this astonishing paradox, request a complimentary copy of Mystery of the Ages. We were born into this 20th century world as it is. We take it for granted, but we can't explain it. It's like viewing a movie at a point already near the end. We see what is occurring at that point, but not having seen it from the beginning and not knowing how events developed to the point of viewing, we simply cannot understand what we are seeing. Mystery of the Ages transports you back to the beginning of the movie, to the foundation of this present evil world. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily program. It is our pleasure, it's our interest actually, to share with you God's view of prophecy, God's explanation of the world around us. We are currently away keeping the Feast of Tabernacles that are commanded by God in Leviticus 23, if you wanted to look that up. But we're very happy to keep this programming going for you. After October 18th, Mr. Stephen Fleury will be back with you as a host for your program, and I'm sure we'll have an awful lot to talk about. Well, I mentioned a few programs back that Jeremiah, the prophet, was called by God and commissioned by God before he was even born. One of three individuals, John the Baptist, Jeremiah, and then, of course, Jesus Christ. So that puts him in a pretty unique category of prophets or individuals that have ever lived. Jeremiah's life was filled with just tremendous intrigue. God revealed amazing prophecy to him throughout his life, and it was a long life. He had achievement. He had some very dark, difficult days. He had quite an adventure on his hand. He was tested and tried a lot. He actually did a lot of travel, very inspiring and interesting travel. There were a lot of times in his life where his very existence was threatened by doing the work of God. And so he trusted God in faith and trusted him for deliverance. And God did come through for him time after time. Jeremiah transported the throne of David and the stone of destiny out of Judah up into Ireland. And we have some terrific material that we'd love to send you. We have this book on Jeremiah. We also have the United States and Britain in Prophecy. And also I'll mention the New Throne of David book. So these three books, of and by themselves, I think are some of the most fascinating reads you'll ever come across. They cover a lot of history. There's documentation in there that reinforces God's prophecies. It shows the fulfillment of those prophecies historically. It tells you what's coming ahead. It is a fantastic story. Those three books, again, The New Throne of David, the Jeremiah booklet, in the United States, and Britain in Prophecy. If you don't have them, request them. The toll-free number is 1-866-930-3024, or you can email your request to td@thetrumpet.com. So I want to begin today with just one chapter in Jeremiah. It's Jeremiah chapter 30. If you have a Bible, if you have your Bible, open it up and read through this this chapter with me. It talks a lot about trouble that lies ahead for the end time nations of Jacob. It's a message that is coded, but it also ends with great hope. You know, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, God tells us to prove all things. The Bible should be our foundation, our standard. And then we measure everything else against the Bible. And so you have to open your Bible. And yet you could use books like what we offer you to help you put some of those pieces together. Jeremiah chapter 30, I'll start with the first three verses here. It says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Eternal, saying, Thus speaks the Eternal God of Israel, saying, Write you all the words that I have spoken unto you in a book. For lo, the days come, says the Eternal, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, says the Eternal, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it." Just a great couple verses right there at the beginning. God told Jeremiah to write this prophecy down in a book. It was for a later time, a time well beyond his own lifetime. And it was a message of hope. Now, if you study the Bible and you look at the lifetime and the location of God's prophets, what you might find to be pretty interesting is that Jeremiah had a couple contemporary prophets with him. They were Ezekiel and Daniel. Those are some major prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, all on the scene at the same time, different locations, different circumstances. They all had very different messages. Jeremiah, as you might know, recorded this prophecy and then wrote it down in a book and carried on with his life with quite a bit of other adventure. The northern tribes of Israel had already gone into captivity about a century before, more than a century before the time he wrote this prophecy. Ezekiel, he was at in a prisoner camp on the river Kibar. Daniel was with a couple other promising youth that were taken captive and used in the Babylonian palace. You could study their prophecies separately. But Jeremiah was arrested and then released from arrest so he could fulfill just an epic mission. Verse 4 continues here. "And these are the words that the Eternal spoke concerning Israel and concerning Judah." So again, Israel was already in captivity. Judah was being conquered at the time. And God said that he was going to bring again a captivity. God told Jeremiah to address both the northern and southern tribes, both Judah and, or I should say Israel and Judah, to put it in the proper framework there. They both failed to keep their covenant with God. Israel, from the days of Moses, had an opportunity to live as a model nation, an example nation, and they failed miserably in keeping God's law. And yet you find that they did fulfill that responsibility. They were an example. It's just not a good example. Their sins had become so grotesque, so offensive to God, that God had to send them into captivity to correct them. They had totally violated their covenant with God, and so they were punished. And God here is prophesying of a future captivity for Israel and for Judah, one that would take place in our day and time. That's what Jeremiah 30 is about. It's a coded message for us. We are to be warned as the end time nations of Israel, primarily America and Britain. Judah is the modern day nation of Israel over in the Middle East. And so you find these prophecies just highly relevant to our nations. And you find that they're actually specifically fulfilled, as we talk about in this program so frequently. And yet there is more prophecy to be fulfilled. The evils of this nation are going to get worse. This is Satan's dying world, as I said before. And America and Judah are leading the world in evil. The devil has targeted our nations. And he does so because God did hold them up as a model nation. And yet God wins in the end. Notice verses 5 through 7 of Jeremiah 30. Verse 5 says, "For thus says the Eternal, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask you now and see whether a man does travail with child." That's an interesting question. Today it's confusing to the Biden administration. They think that a man can travail with child, but we all obviously know that's not possible. It's not biologically possible. God says, "Ask you now and see whether a man does travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness." Just think about what he's saying here. All people, they're just hands on their knees. They're sick. They're pale for all the evil, everything that's happening. Notice here it says, "Alas, for the day, that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." Jacob was the name of Israel before he was converted, before he wrestled with the being that became Christ. So God is saying here that Jacob's trouble, or unconverted Israel's trouble, is going to cause such anguish that men and women are just simply pale. They're sick for everything that's taking place around them. Such a terrible time that there was none ever like it. We haven't seen that on this world yet. And we can imagine some of the atrocities that take place even to this day. And God says it's going to be worse. But at the end of verse 7, he says, "He shall be saved out of it." We just kept the Feast of Trumpets. And we picture there the return of Jesus Christ, the fighting that leads to the glorious, wonderful world tomorrow. But Christ returns and mankind seeks to murder him again. Mankind has already murdered Christ once. And as he returns in power and glory, the armies of this world will take aim at him again. They will fight, but they will lose. But it caps off years of warfare and suffering. Jesus Christ said this himself. Christ said this at the Mount of Olives, Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. He said, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved," or saved alive, as the Moffat says, "but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." So here again, prophecy tells us to be on the lookout for horrible, horrible sufferings. We've seen that with hurricanes, fires, drought. We've seen wars. We've seen religious confusion. We've seen political violence and crime. We've experienced all of this. But God says it's going to get worse. But every time he tells us that, he also tells us that he's going to intervene and stop it before we extinguish life on this planet, before we take ourselves all the way out. You see, this world is really sprinting toward catastrophe, toward nuclear war, as I mentioned just a few days ago. The media, the politicians are talking about the use of tactical weapons, perhaps. It was reported today, again, the day that I'm recording this, that one of the Russians' primary boomer subs, one of their submarines capable of carrying nuclear weapons, has left port. They don't know where it is. We'll probably find it somewhere, I'm sure. But these weapons are being deployed. The Russians are deploying nuclear-capable bombers closer to NATO nations. The United States, surely, while not probably mentioning out loud, is responding in kind. How is it that we've gotten to the point where it seems logical to discuss, well, small nuclear weapons? And as I said just a couple days ago, it's more of a psychological threshold that we're crossing, right? President Putin, Mr. Putin's already said, well, the U.S. started this anyway, back in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It's not as though Putin's going to be the first one to use a small yield nuclear weapon. And yet small yields will undoubtedly end up being larger and larger yields. We know they will because of what prophecy says. Jeremiah chapter 30 and hundreds of other prophecies in the Bible tell you about this coming time of conflict. And if Christ did not intervene, that would be the end of life. And that's Satan's goal. But it's not God's plan. God doesn't intend to allow the world to kill itself off. God does have a really remarkable plan. God used Jeremiah to show the timing, the sequence of events for this cataclysm. And as we've already read, God prophesied that Israel and Judah will go back into captivity. Yeah, they're going to be taken prisoner of war. The nations of end time Israel, the people of modern day Israel or Judah are going back into captivity. So says your Bible. There's a prophecy in Hosea chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. I'll just read that to you. It says, "And the pride of Israel does testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them." You can go on and read the rest of that passage there yourself. Israel being a type of America. Ephraim is the biblical name for Britain. And Judah, once again, Israel, all fall together in really just a short space of time. I'll just read it to you. It says, "They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Eternal, but they shall not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously against the Eternal, for they have begotten strange children. Now shall a month devour them with their portions." That's Hosea chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. If you believe your Bible, then you know this is coming. And it's not God's fault. We often hear that in tragedy. We hear it after disaster. We hear it a lot when war is being fought. How could God allow this? Why would God build this into our lives? And yet Hosea 5 tells us right there, at some point during the catastrophe, they do call on God, but God's not there. God has been giving them 6,000 years to learn this lesson. Our society today is being warned at a really wonderful pace by this work. Through television, through radio, through the internet, through print. Again, we have close to a million books and booklets behind me in our warehouse that we want to send out. We spend millions of dollars to give the good news of what's coming. We do have to talk about the bad news here, but really it gets to the heart and core of Hosea chapter 5. At the time that the nations of Israel do come seeking God, it's too late. Correction is necessary, right? It's like a little child that breaks a glass. Right, he's already broken the glass, but he goes to the parents trying to avoid the punishment. I don't know if that's the best example, but you can come up with one on your own. These nations, these people of Israel that are living horrific lives, that can't differentiate between a male and a female, that agree to abortion, that allow for senseless crime. A nation that sends billions of dollars to let somebody else fight a war on their territory. We'll pay the price. We'll let you guys duke it out and kill each other. We just want to wipe our hands of it. We'll send you the money for it, but you guys go after each other. What kind of a people is that? What kind of a people are we that stand by and take pictures of crime while it's taking place right in front of us instead of stepping in there to stop it? God is calling on us now to respond. God says, if you listen to me, I will protect you. Promises of that in Revelation 3, Ezekiel 33. You can go through, quite a few prophecies. God does not intend for mankind to kill other men. God is a God of mercy. God is a God of love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says, "He that loves not knows not God, for God is love." Sorry, I had a little mistake there in my notes. God is love. If you don't love, then you don't really know God. And we're not talking about this world's sickening, so-called Christian lovey-dovey type of talk. We're talking about a real concern for one another. We're talking about serving someone else's needs first before you serve your own. God is love. God is creating us to become love. Now, God is not interested in the death of Jacob or Israel or Judah. Ezekiel 33:11 says, "Say unto them, as I live, says eternal God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." God says, turn you from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? It doesn't have to be this way. God is talking to us individually. Make the changes now so we don't have to go through this awful, awful tribulation and war. God wants his family to turn from their sins. He would love for the peoples of Judah, Ephraim, Manasseh, he'd love for them to turn the tables and serve this world, to stop their sins. But Bible prophecy says it's too late for that. We've crossed the point of no return. And you can look at society today. They have no intention of repenting before God like we need to. But we can. Now, Jeremiah chapter 30 is a great, great prophecy. We're only halfway through the book. And we hear of this destruction, but already in the midst of that prophesied doom, God gives hope. You see, the good news is the tribulation and the day of the Lord do work. They do cause men to repent, to come back to God. They have quite an education ahead of them. We are about to keep the Day of Atonement. That picture is Satan being bound. We're about to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, about the wonderful world tomorrow that comes out of this present evil world. A totally different world. Without Satan, without the evil thoughts in mankind, with the repentance caused by the tribulation, the day of the Lord, God stands ready to return Judah and Israel back to the promised land, to give them leadership, to give them law. Going back to Jeremiah 30 now, verses 8 through 11, Jeremiah says, "For it shall come to pass in that day," which is always a sign that we're talking about the end time, "in that day, says the Eternal of Hosts, that I will break his yoke from off your neck and will burst your bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve the Eternal their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore, fear not, O my servant Jacob, says the Eternal, neither be you dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid." That's what we look forward to. That's also in the million books and booklets that we have behind us here, this good news. There is a change coming. A time where there will be economic prosperity and opportunity for all. Not as this world's politicians promise. They don't have the solutions. Mankind has never been able to offer that. God does have the solution. That solution comes from government, comes from the throne of David. Verse 11, God says, "For I am with you, says the Eternal, to save you. Though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered you, yet I will not make a full end of you, but I will correct you in measure and will not leave you altogether unpunished." God does have to punish. We've brought it on ourselves. But he does so in love. We have disrespected God. We've removed him from our society in every possible way. And there will be a price to pay for that. This work, this program, well, we're sounding an alarm. We're trying to warn. We're trying to educate. We're trying to help people escape what's coming. God doesn't want to have to resort to the tribulation and the day of the Lord, but mankind makes it necessary. Verses 15 and 16 of Jeremiah chapter 30 says, "Why cry you for your affliction? Why cry you for your affliction? Your sorrow is incurable for the multitude of your iniquity. Because your sins were increased, I have done these things unto you. Therefore, all they that devour you shall be devoured, and all your adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity, And they that spoil you shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon you I will give for prey. God is merciful. God is a God of justice. Our peoples are going to suffer terrible captivity. Mankind will take it too far. And so God will mete out due justice. He will make sure that every human being, regardless of gender, regardless of race, regardless of nationality, every human being will have to repent before God. And they'll be given full opportunity to do so. And then God can bring about real peace. That's the plan of God in a nutshell. God is building family. Mankind is in a fit of rebellion against God right now, against his plan. But that day of fighting God is quickly coming to an end. God is interested in the future, not so much just the present. Today we will have to wear the punishment that we've brought upon ourselves. That's the lesson of Jeremiah 30. But how positive this prophecy really is. There's more verses of positivity in this chapter than there are that detail the negative things that will happen. God is a God of abundant love. And the hope in this message should cause us to really look at our lives, to understand the world in which we live, and to, again, get behind and back and support this message. The more people that are educated in this hope, the better off they'll be. It really is a comfort, isn't it, to know what's happening in this world, to know where it's leading. It is a time to really experience hope. We need it. We need it for what lies on the immediate future here. Verses 17 through 19, God says, "For I will restore health unto you, and I will heal you of your wounds, says the Eternal, because they called you an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeks after. Thus says the Eternal, Behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be built upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small." That's great news. So different than what we see today. I used a statistic the other day in giving a message. I think about 10 people commit suicide per hour in the United States. I think that's right. It's probably not exactly that. I'm just going off memory here. There's a lot of despair out there. There's a lot of people turning to, you know, anything but reality, whether it be through drugs or some other distraction in life. It's just really hard to cope with life. So much to study in this chapter. Verse 22 says, "And you shall be my people, and I will be your God." You can't have a better conclusion than that. Really, Jeremiah chapter 30 takes a pretty broad stroke of mankind. And it ends with the great news when God is our God. And all of Israel recognizes him as such. What a blessing from God. All of this contained within one chapter. The final verse of Jeremiah chapter 30 tells us that in this end time, we will understand this hope. We will need to understand, otherwise we'd just be utterly hopeless. Jeremiah 30, verse 24 says, "The fierce anger of the Eternal shall not return until he has done it, and until he has performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days you shall consider it." And as our booklet points out, that's better translated, "In the latter days you shall understand it thoroughly." These prophecies are going to happen. Jesus Christ is going to return. He is going to stop the suffering and the awful madness that this world is going through. Difficult times are just ahead. We talk about that frequently on this program. But we also really strive to make sure you understand and that we understand there is great hope. Great hope. God is our God. And for that, we could be very thankful. Well, I appreciate you listening to the program today. Once again, if you'd like to request the literature, send your request to td@thetrumpet.com. Have a wonderful day.